T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Man, horrendous.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Poop fest. It's terrible.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
This is excruciating. This is the worst.
May God have mercy on your soul.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, we're motoring along on a wonderful Thursday. The NHL made news this week with their return to play format. Major League Baseball is fighting with each other, and we await what will happen with the NBA. Perhaps we're going to see some news in the next few days on their front, but with the whole bubble Disney World thing. On our Wester hotline to talk about the latest from the association is Frank Isola. Now, Frank is with SiriusXM NBA Radio, but I bet a lot of you have seen him quite often on ESPN's Around the Horn, and he is kind enough to join us right now. Frank, it's Howard and Jeremy. Thanks for coming on with us today. Good morning, sir.
How are you guys doing? The NBA's not coming back until the Buffalo Braves can't come back. How about that?
Oh, see, now you just earned yourself some major brownie points up here. See, people get excited when the Clippers wear the throwback jerseys.
Bob McAdoo,
yep.
Randy Smith.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, those were the good old days.
They were
and
the
what were they
days.
Playing? The odd up in Buffalo.
Right, yeah. So listen, we did want to get you on to get the latest on the NBA. So let's start with the obvious question. What is the latest? As we stand here, sit here on a Thursday morning, what's going on with their return to play discussions?
Well, I think, you know, owners want to play, the players want to play, and I think tomorrow there'll be a Board of Governors meeting, and I think we'll find out a lot more after the, you know, Adam Silver speaks with all the owners, and I think they'll probably have a better plan outlined. I think the big thing that they're debating is whether or not to bring all 30 teams down to Orlando. I think that's kind of silly. I think you've played enough of a regular season. You know, remember back in 99 when the Knicks lost to San Antonio in the NBA Finals, that year you had a 50-game season. Back in 2011, 2012, you had a 66-game season. So every team has played right around 65 games. So for me, I think you've had enough of a legitimate NBA season. No need to bring all 30 teams down there, especially if they're all going to be in this, you know, so-called bubble. Just bring the 16 playoff teams down there, a little bit of a training camp, a couple exhibition games. I would play East versus West for the exhibition games, and then just do 1-8, East, West, and get on with it. Let's get this over with.
We've had the same discussion with the NHL, and because they're in the same boat, you know, 80%+ of the games are played. Do they play regular season? Do they hop right to the playoffs? Well, the NHL kind of compromised. You know, regular season's over, but instead of 16 teams, we're going to have 24. There'll be a play-in round. 8 teams get eliminated. Could the NBA do that? There's been talk about 20 or 24, a World Cup-type proposal, a group play. Could the NBA do that? No regular season, but still add other teams?
I think there's definitely a possibility they can do that. And the reason why these leagues would want to do it, like the NBA and the NHL, is more games would mean more money. Here's the one thing, though, with the NBA. Right now, the 8th-place team in the East is the Orlando Magic. They are 5.5 games better than 9th-place Washington. So if you played 82 games, it's still going to be really difficult for Washington to catch the Orlando Magic and finish in 8th. Then if you look in the Western Conference, Memphis is 3.5 games up on Portland. Now, Portland could conceivably catch them. They're also 8 games under 500.
Yep.
So, you know, to have all these play-in games, for example, Dallas has 40 wins. They're in 7th. Portland is 29. Why would Dallas have to be in a situation for a play-in game when they're 11 games better than the ninth-place team? And then the Golden State Warriors, they've already been eliminated from playoff contention. They're 15-50. You're going to bring them down to Orlando? I mean, it seems like you're almost making a mockery of your regular season. I get it. They're doing it. They'd want to play more games for money. But at this point, we're in May. It sounds like things aren't even going to start up again until July when actual games would be played. Just get on with it. Just have the 16 playoff teams and go from there.
Hey, if they do 16, because of the unique situation that, as opposed to even like the NHL is dealing with two hub cities, the NBA in theory would have everybody in one spot. Could you go 1 through 16, 2 through 15, regardless of conferences? You know, Brooklyn and the Lakers would play in the first round and have matchups you normally would never see until the finals.
Well, there's a possibility that that's been talked about. I think it's completely absurd. Number one, there's going to be no reason to add any gimmicks. If you look at what's gone on over the past couple of weeks with golf being on TV, mm-hmm. NASCAR on TV, the German Soccer League has been playing on Fox Sports 1, the ratings have been great. So what would be the reason that you would do that? People are going to watch the games. So you've already messed with the season, so it's an abnormal year. Why then would you add this into it midway through? I think they should do 1 through 16 eventually. But I'm doing that when the season starts, and I'm going to play a more balanced schedule. I think to do it now, it's just too gimmicky. There's no reason to do that. And once these games start, people are going to get into it. So I don't know why you need to do 1 through 16. If you decided that before the year began, that's one thing. To do it in midstream, I think it kind of cheapens the product a little bit.
Let me ask you this. In terms of revenues, getting back to the discussion about why would you go beyond 16, and the NHL's has done that, and in part, more TV – maybe not necessarily gain revenue, but minimize what you'd be losing. In terms of the loss of revenue, Frank, for the NBA, I know there's no way to calculate it right now, but what could the ramifications be going forward for the NBA, the salary cap, all the different things that people are beginning to take into account with loss of hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars?
Well, remember now, a lower salary cap, that would impact free agents down the road. And two guys to look to are Anthony Davis, who can opt out of his contract after this season and then sign a long-term deal. Now, because a lot of people think the cap is going to go down, the idea or the thinking is that Anthony Davis will opt into his contract, which I think is going to call for him to make about $26 million, become a free agent after the next season with the hope that the cap will increase. Then you have Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's eligible this summer to sign a Supermax extension. The likelihood of him doing that now, I think it would decrease, because if he waited another year, it could be even more money. So it definitely has some huge ramifications. You know, but to me, the player that has the most to lose right now, just in terms of not having a season, that's LeBron James, you know, considering his age, and, you know, he's hoping, you know, this is all about his legacy. But I think the team that has the most to lose is the Milwaukee Bucks. They have the best record in the league. You know, they last won a championship, last won the finals in 71. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo scheduled to become a free agent. They were having this, you know, once in a generation type of season. And if you don't play games, it really hurts them. I think it would hurt them in terms of, you know, potentially resigning Giannis Antetokounmpo. So there's a lot at stake here, not just money, but legacy and the future of some of these franchises, the immediate future of some of these franchises.
Frank Isola with us. A couple things before we let you go, Frank. You had mentioned everybody wants to come back and play. What about what you guys are hearing from the players? Now, again, the NHL came out with their format, but they still have yet to announce actual protocols for Phase 3 when full camps open up, for Phase 4 when they actually play the games. What are you hearing in terms of NBA players? I know today there was a story about maybe they might have a plan to allow families to go down to Orlando to be with the players when they're in the, quote, bubble. Will there be players who won't want to come back?
I think there would be. I think there were some players that, you know, just wouldn't want to play. I think there are some players who, you know, could be legitimately concerned due to health reasons. But I still think most of them, if they know that the NBA is doing things the right way, I still think you would get a majority of players that'll sign up for it and go down to Orlando. Now, the idea with the families, I think it's a smart thing that the NBA is doing, because now you're almost leaving it up to the players. Because I would think deep down, not every player is going to think, is it really going to be the best thing to bring my family with me down? They'll probably be there for 6 weeks or 2 months. We're going to be, you know, I have this beautiful palatial house. Would they be better just staying there, or would they be better coming into a hotel room with me in Orlando where they're not? I don't even think if they go down there that they would be able to, you know, really leave that spot and go to, say, like the amusement parks and things like that. So I think publicly players are going to say that it's great. I just don't know if any player is going to say publicly, yeah, I really don't want my family with me, because when you're on a business trip sometimes and you're, you know, you're kind of focused in on just your work, that becomes a bit of a distraction. Plus, I think for the families, it could be. It's not. I think most of them would probably have a better situation at home. If LeBron James were to sit down with his kids and say, hey, you guys can come down to Orlando. I'm going to get a big suite down there. They're going to be looking around at the house that they're living in now in Beverly Hills and say, you know what, Dad, we're okay right here with the beautiful house and the basketball court we got.
Yeah, Jeremy and I were saying the other day, Frank, I think if you were to set up the one-city bubble, I'm not sure you can come up. I know Vegas had been mentioned, but I'm not sure you can come up with a better concept than Disney, because, you know, you have everything you need on Disney property. Your players, the fam, no one has to venture into the city or even leave property. Everything they would need would be right there in the bubble.
Yeah, and you know what's going to be pretty wild, too? I've been to that Wild World of Sports complex down at Disney, watching my kids play down there. You know, it's an amazing place. But the MLS is going to be down there, too, on the soccer fields, which are right next to, you know, the indoor basketball court. So it's going to be like a pretty wild, you know, couple of weeks and months down there. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. There's going to be a lot of big-time sports being played down there. And remember this, too, about the bubble. You know, after you get, you know, out of the first round of the playoffs, which, you know, you would hope would be over in about 10 days if teams are playing every other day, 10 days to 14 days. You know, once the first round is over, you've now gone from 16 teams to 8.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty quickly, you know, after that first round, you just got rid of half the teams, and things will move at a pretty quick pace. And again, I think fans, they want to see these games in the worst way. And I think, you know, again, the rating, if the ratings for Dortmund versus Bayern Munich are great, I think the ratings for a Laker-Memphis Grizzly playoff series are going to be pretty good as well.
So final thing, Frank, in the best case scenario, when, at this point, what kind of time frame are we talking about when games would begin?
It's weird because they are kind of kicking the stone down the road a little bit. We, you know, it was about 6 weeks ago when Mark Cuban said, we're looking at a June start, but I'm going to bet the under. I think we'll be starting in late May. Well, it's late May. They haven't started yet.
Yeah.
So I would think they try to get things started by mid-July. And mm-hmm. So I think that's when the playoff's going to be. It's hard for it not to feel like it's going to be a summer league championship, but they want to crown a champion. If that's what they want to do, they're going to have to start sooner than later. But I would say mid-July and probably ending, you know, pretty late August.
We are with Frank Isola, joining us from SiriusXM NBA Radio and also ESPN's Around the Horn. Frank, thanks for coming on with us. It was nice having you on the show today.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Have a good day. You too. Thank you. Yes. So mid to late July, Jeremy, if all this plays out, mid to late July, NBA, assuming they jump right to the postseason, we know the NHL is. NBA playoffs would be underway. NHL playoffs would be underway, knock on wood. Baseball season would have already started, and NFL teams would be going to training camp. Could be quite the – and no golf majors yet, right? We would have had the Kentucky – no, we would have had the Belmont Stakes, but no other Triple Crown races yet. But you could have all that happening in mid to late July all at the same time with, you know, NASCAR going on, the golf season resuming, the soccer – you know, Premier League going on. Can make for an amazing summer because normally that time of year, we're in, it's baseball season, the Mets season is already over, and we're waiting for Bill's training camp to open up, and you could have all this stuff happening in the same time frame.
Meanwhile, the NHL playoffs, Sean McIndoe posted an article, and it's a great idea for the NHL playoffs, and I'm so mad that I didn't think of it, and I'm so mad that it can't ever happen. What if the 24 playoff teams could each draft one player from the eliminated clubs, he asks. It would be glorious.
I wonder who they'd take from the Sabres.
Do you know who the first overall pick was?
Okay, I got to think of the seven teams. Detroit, Ottawa, New Jersey, L.A., San Jose, Anaheim, Sabres.
Dylan Larkin.
Please. Child, please. It's got to be Eichel.
Jack Eichel's the first pick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Montreal took, in this, you know, mock draft, Jack Eichel goes number one to Montreal.
Dylan Larkin. And, that was good. I like that.
I would like that. I would watch that. Honestly, how much I want to watch these playoffs would skyrocket. I mean, seeing your player in another
jersey.
Your best player
jersey, on someone's team, yeah. It'd
maybe
be weird.
Tough for you to take, but yeah. If it's alone because of a very strange scenario,
yeah,
absolutely, I would watch it. Eichel went 1 to Montreal. Erik Karlsson 2 Chicago. Care to guess who the next Sabres player was and how far down the board it was?
I'll say Rasmus Dahlin.
All right, I'll take Reinhardt then.
Jeff Skinner was the next player.
Okay.
16th, taken by the Hurricanes in a bit of a, you know.
Oh, that's funny. That actually would be very entertaining to see that.
Yep.
Who was the, who were the top guys right after Karlsson?
Eichel, Karlsson, Anze Kopitar, John Gibson, Thomas Chabot, Marc-Edouard Vlasic, Brady Tkachuk is 7th, Hampus Lindholm 8th, Logan Couture 9th, Drew Doughty 10th.
Really?
So,
a goalie. How about that? Gibson, huh?
Skinner goes 16th in this mock draft. And Risto goes 20th to Washington.
How is Dahlin not picked before Risto? Or even Skinner, for that matter.
Goes 23rd to the Blues.
Of course he does.
Olofsson goes 24th, and Reinhardt does not get picked.
I got a question. In this scenario, if this actually did happen, so let's say Montreal wins the cup. Eichel gets his name on the cup with the Canadiens?
Yeah.
That's weird. And if Dahlin goes to St. Louis and wins the cup, does he want to come back?
Well, he's under contract, so it wouldn't really matter.
Okay, good. All right. I don't have to worry about his... He does revert to the current team.
Loaning players out to other teams, even in your league, does happen in other sports.
Yeah.
In the Premier League.
I was going to say, it sounds like a soccer transaction.
It is. Of course, this would never happen here. But
no.
I mean, it would be a great idea.
But it's kind of a neat way to get some of your stars that are not in the playoffs in the playoffs.
It would accomplish that. It would get all of the television markets that aren't in the playoffs into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm now watching Olofsson and Dahlin and Eichel and Skinner. Okay. You know, like, I love the idea. I mean, I don't think he was necessarily proposing it so much as saying a what if.
Yeah.
But, what a great idea.
You know, I was looking at it, maybe actually think, you know, the great players being in the playoffs, we don't have to worry about McDavid because Edmonton is in this year. But I actually was thinking about the NBA because we just had our conversation with Frank Isola. So I pulled up the standings. Guess right now who's not in the playoffs? New Orleans. Wouldn't you love to see Zion Williamson in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, why not? You know, take your best players, and maybe Major League Baseball could say the same thing. You know, Mike Trout goes and gets drafted by a playoff team if the Angels don't make the expanded postseason. Take your stars and put them in the postseason. Yeah, Eichel. Oh, man, he would just okay. I was just thinking he would just be – would it make it even worse for him to go to the playoffs and then know he's got to come back here and – hope that they don't miss the playoffs again in his 6th season with the Buffalo Sabres?
I don't know. I mean, that would be...
like, he gets a sniff of it. Like, so this is what it's like to be in it. Like, not to sit at home and watch it on television. And I don't know. It wouldn't be his team, but the competitor of him would sure come out. I mean, it's obviously he's going to play with intensity to win. But I wonder if that's a good thing. Does it drive an... or does he come back going, oh, man, that was fun. Oh, okay, now I'm back here. And I don't know if that would make it even worse. Would he go to his agent and say, get me the hell out of here?
No, I don't think. I mean, I wouldn't hope so.
Okay. Get a little snippet there. Get a little feel for what you're missing out on. Hey, I don't think he needs to be driven anyway, like harder to try and win. But I'd be worried about how it might have too much of a reverse impact, wondering when the heck the Sabres are going to make the playoffs. I'm just in a bad place with the Sabres, and I just don't have any hope. So,
well, the Sabres are in a bad place.
Yeah. Yeah, nine straight years is – the nine-year drought for them just seems longer than a 17-18-year seasons.
Well, it's easier to make the playoffs in the NHL.
Well,
it's 16
in theory,
out of 30 for most of that, as opposed to 12 out of 32.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But
supposed to be.
Hasn't necessarily been the case. Did you see, was there a particular matchup of the NHL series at all that you were looking forward to now that it's officially set?
No.
Nothing?
Yeah. Sorry, no.
You're going to watch the games, right?
Sure, yeah. But I'm not looking at any specific matchup. Okay. I mean, I forgot who's on the teams. It's been so long. No,
yeah.
I'm kidding.
I look forward to, I'll watch not the Chicago portion of it, but I think watching Edmonton and McDavid in the playoffs would draw me in. I'll always watch the Leafs just to root against them. I think, what are they playing? Toronto's Columbus. Playing Columbus, right?
You want them in the lottery or you want them in the playoffs?
Oh, geez. They can't be in the lottery. Screw it. Yeah, I'll root for them in the opening round.
There you go.
And then they can't be in the lottery, right? As long as they win the play-in round?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll root for Toronto to get to the second round and then lose to Boston if Boston holds on to the one seed.
You'd probably be shocked to know that before they decided all the lottery stuff and, you know, was getting kicked around, how they're going to do this, what if Montreal wins the lottery and they know they're going to pick number one if they miss the playoffs? That's how the placeholder thing got put in. Right. So you don't know that.
Right.
Boy, what a fun conversation that would be. Hey, Montreal, you have won the lottery. If you win this round, you don't get that first overall pick. If you lose, you get the first overall pick. What should Montreal do? You'd be very proud of me because...
Lose in the first round.
Oh, absolutely.
You get the number one pick. What are the chances the Canadians go and win the cup?
Right.
They're not winning the cup.
It kind of wraps up this little conversation about if they could draft a player. Sean McIndoe writing about if they could draft one player and had the first pick, they would take Eichel. And the idea being they haven't had a first-line center in a generation.
Yeah.
Like, this, congratulations. Now you have one for a couple of weeks is what Sean wrote. Yeah. If, I mean, if you're Montreal and it's lose in the first round and pick first or beat the Penguins and then go on to face the one seed or whatever, yeah wouldn't it be, I mean, I would be actively rooting for my team to get that first pick.
Yeah,
especially, I mean, Montreal is exactly that scenario. It's like just like the Sabres.
Yeah.
They've been competitive and they've been chasing forever and have never had that truly – I shouldn't say never, of course. They definitely have at some point. But in a while – that truly great number one center. It's been forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have a realistic shot of running the table here. You know, even if they win their opening round, Carey Price plays really well, and they beat the Penguins. Who knows who they play, since they haven't figured out whether if it's a bracket they would play, I think, Philly. Well, forget it, because the 1-4 seeding might change after the round robin. So whatever. They're not winning. Hey, it would take 5 rounds of the playoffs now. Right. They're not winning 5 playoff series and winning the Stanley Cup. So the best thing for them would be that scenario. Hey, you're in the, quote, postseason. Your players get that experience. Whoop-dee-doo. But you also won the lottery and you get the first overall pick and Lafreniere goes and plays for the Canadiens. Dream scenario for them. And, I mean, there are a whole bunch of – I mean, anybody down at the bottom of the list – you know, is Chicago winning the cup? Probably not. You know, there are a number of teams at the bottom of the list that I think you would say, realistically, you're not winning 5 series. Take the first pick. Win the lottery and run with it. Because
yeah, 5 series, yeah. Wow.
5. You got to, right? I have that right? Because you got to win the play-in round and then 16, 8, 4, and final. So you got to win 5 playoff series now. And now, granted, the first one's best of 5, and it's possible it's the best. They haven't determined round 1. Maybe a best of 5, but if not, you're winning a 5-game series and then 4 more 7-round series. Man, that is arduous and not happening for the Montreal Canadiens. What do you think? I mean, Reinhardt today is also going to speak, not just Eichel. What do you think happens with his contract situation in the offseason? Because I think Botrel suggested something yesterday about maybe letting things go to arbitration with guys, with him specifically?
Isn't he the only one of
Darlene can't, right? Can he go to arbitration?
No.
Okay, so that must have been more about Reinhardt than anything else, right? Brayton, you were in on the call. Didn't he say something about going to an arbitration process? Was that specifically on Reinhardt?
I don't think it was necessarily on Reinhardt. I think it was just a generalization where it's just like, you know, depending on this sort of situation. But he did mention the arbitration when it was the question pertaining to Reinhardt and Dahlin, because obviously Dahlin is eligible for contract extension this year, whereas Reinhardt obviously needs a new contract in order to play.
Because he's an RFA and Dahlin still has 1 more year left.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that sounds like right now arbitration is, again, it could all be like leverage for the contract, but wouldn't surprise me at all if the Sabres went to arbitration. I mean, the Reinhardt contract, the one he just signed, took a long time to get done.
Yeah.
Didn't it get signed in August, maybe even September?
Could they do another bridge deal with him if they don't want to give out, you know, 6 years and $50 million or whatever the heck the numbers might be?
How many years accrued does he have? I mean, to try and keep him at a restricted free agent? No, right. I think he would go to arbitration, and whatever the award is, they would have to accept it or walk away.
Okay. And that's a 1 or 2 year deal still, right? That's still the rule on that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think arbitration's where it gets a little bit hazy, right? You can it used to be that the arbiter would pick one or the other, and now they go in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But at least you would have, you might not be happy about the award, but at least there would be certainty. You would know a contract would be done at some point if you went to the arbitration process.
I would think the Sabres in no way want arbitration is a player's right. They don't want to take this to arbitration. That would be to force them to
accept the award or walk away.
Because if the arbitration is going to be a 1 or 2 year deal, that's shorter than any deal the Sabres would probably be comfortable with, and they'd lose control of their asset. And, you know, when it comes to asset management, they've not been great at that.
Yeah.
So I think arbitration is the player's threat here.
Yeah. Well, they got a lot of RFA decisions to make. In addition, they have the handful of, 10 guys, I think? They have 6 UFA forwards, and I should probably check. I looked at Cap Friendly yesterday, and I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but there are a number of RFAs, forwards, defensemen, goalies. Ullmark is a restricted guy. So, heck, there are only 10 guys under contract next season, so they have plenty of decisions they have to make in the offseason. 803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550. Get your thoughts on Jason Bottrell, his comments yesterday during the Zoom call, other Sabres comments, and, of course, we will always talk to you about whatever else is on your mind. We'll talk a little bit about college football. So in recent days, I should say, you're seeing stories come out about certain conferences voting to allow athletic facilities to open up on a voluntary basis. But we're all wondering, will there be a college football season? Will it start on time? Will it be a full season? What would happen if there isn't a season? The ramifications on Division I football. When we get back, we'll throw these questions at the commissioner of the Mid-American Conference, UB's conference, Dr. John Steinbrecher. He's going to join us on that and more college-related topics. We've seen program cuts. We've seen a number of things already instituted by Division I athletic institutions and programs, I should say. We'll talk about that in a moment. Grab a line, join us as well on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, you know, the question is, will there be a college football season? And we hear all the bands and all the fight songs. Will there be a full season? A lot of stuff circling around all of sports, including college football. We're joined on our West Her hotline right now by the commissioner of the Mid-American Conference, Dr. John Steinbrecher. Dr. Steinbrecher, thanks. It's Howard and Jeremy. Welcome to the show, and thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Howard, Jeremy, it's good to be with you today.
A lot of stuff to get to, Dr. Steinbrecher, with the sport and what's going on, not just football, but that's such a big factor in all of this, as you well know. Are you optimistic that there will be a college football season at some point?
You know, I am. I continue to see signs, and we get updates on a pretty regular basis. And what we continue to see is we're, as a society, figuring out ways to live with this virus. It doesn't mean there won't be hiccups along the way, but as we stand here today, I'm fairly optimistic that we will get our athletics programs up and running, and really, more importantly, we'll get our schools back open, and we'll be back into a residential learning situation, and that's first and foremost the most important thing.
I know the other day I read some comments from the president of the University of Michigan, and he said, to paraphrase, if our students are not on campus and we don't have in-person instruction in the fall, we won't be playing college football. Now, again, that's a university president. You are a conference commissioner. Does that factor into the many models and the things you guys are talking about? Would students have to be on campus to play games, or could it be online instruction? How does that play into this?
Well, I think it will vary by state. I think it will vary by institution. We have not, as a league, we've not made any determination on that at this point. What I'd tell you is that there are kids on virtually every college campus right now. Mm-hmm. And you have international kids who didn't go home. You have kids who didn't go home because it was safer for them to stay on campus. And they're taking courses right now in an online or virtual setting. Now, to my knowledge, all of our schools have announced that they plan to be open next fall. Mm-hmm. We'll see as the summer progresses if, in fact, that does occur. And, again, I'm optimistic that it does. And then we will just take these issues as they arise. Again, there's not been any hard and fast determinations made by us as a league, and I'm not sure I can't envision a league mandate on that. That's going to be, what is the institution comfortable with? Mm-hmm. And you know, what is the governor of the state saying? What is the state board of health saying? What is the local board of health saying?
Sure.
And you're then going to work and manage around those mandates.
Okay. Yeah, I think you just did. But that was my follow-up question. I think you basically answered. And then I was wondering, when it comes to the guidelines, from your standpoint as the commissioner of a conference, who are you following? Because it could be the governor of the state and whether that state is open, or it could be, you know, health officials, or it could be the university president who says, yeah, we're just not going to do this.
Well, you're exactly right. In our case, we have five states that we're concerned about. And so you're paying attention to what's being said in each one of those states. And so what we're talking about as a league is developing a set of, whether it's specific protocols or really guiding principles, because every state and every campus is developing their own set of protocols right now. So where do we have consistency, and what are the expectations we have among each other so that if we get to the point where we're able to compete, that we have confidence that the young men and women that are out there on the field of competition, that they're healthy and that we're protecting their well-being, we're protecting the well-being of the fans and those who are interacting with all involved.
Have you, as a league, have you run various models for the season? And I say that because, you know, I was reading some things that maybe if it's a could it be a shortened season? If it is, people have talked about the idea of a conference-only schedule and eliminating the non-conference games in the upcoming season.
Yeah, we've talked about an array of things, and we talk about across all 10 FBS conferences. The highest priority across all of the FBS conferences is to play a 12-game season. All of those games are important. And then I think if, in fact, somehow the season gets truncated, then we're going to have to dig into that and figure out a way to manage it, whether it's, is it only conference games, is it a couple non-conference, and then the rest of the conference schedule, all those sorts of things. But, you know, you think about us as a league, you've got a conference schedule. Well, what about those independent institutions out
mm-hmm.
there?
Right.
You know, how would they manage that? And so, again, I think our highest priority is to see if we can figure out a way to make an entire season work. If we can't, then we will, as it comes at us and given the variables involved, we'll be prepared to react and make it work.
Do you think, whether it's your conference or any of the other FBS conferences, do you think there would be a possibility that one or two, universities decide not to field their football team in the fall, that you'd have college football, you'd have a season, but one or two schools in a select conference might not play. And what do you do if that happens?
I don't think that's too far fetched.
Okay.
And again, I think you just react to it. I think all of our, and again, I'm dealing with public institutions, so they're going to be taking their guidance from their governors, their political leaders, their boards, and the state boards of health and local boards of health, and they will file those guidelines. And if they're being told they can't move on, they'll stand down. And if we have others that can move on, I think we will likely, those who can play will play, and those mm-hmm. who can't.
We're with Dr. John Steinbrecher from the Mid-American Conference, commissioner of the MAC. The league has already instituted some cost-cutting. You've canceled some conference tournaments. You've streamlined some others. The basketball tournament's altered a little bit, no on-campus games. Do you anticipate any more measures, or do you think that would be it for the upcoming athletic season?
Well, I think that was a pretty good swing at it the first time out. I think we're always looking at are there ways that we can manage costs efficiently. Right now, I'm not aware of anything else, but it's something we're always going back and continuing to look at. And it's a project that never ends. And that's just being prudent managers of your resources.
A couple things for you, and I was wondering, again, it's a big if, but we always hear football is the engine that drives athletics. If there is no college football season, Dr. Steinbrecher, what are the ramifications of that, whether it's your league, a Power 5 conference, what have you?
I'm not sure I can speak to all the institutional ramifications, but I would suggest that if there are probably no college athletics going this fall, that probably means in all likelihood that we don't have residential learning, or that mm-hmm. we don't have kids back on campus.
Yep.
I think that would be just incredibly destructive to our institutions, just from a financial standpoint. You think about the tuition and fees and room and board and all the things that go into operating a university, it would be incredibly destructive. In our case, just from a conference operation standpoint, and we're probably the least part of this, somewhere between 80 and 85% of the revenue we generate is through football.
Right.
And so for us, it would significantly impact the revenue we're generating, which would ultimately affect our operations to some extent.
Final thing, and I did want to ask you about going forward, you know, in that scenario, do you think that there would be a clear separation in Division I? People have talked about the Power Fives at some point might want to just go off on their own, and you'd have a further separation inside FBS. Could that happen? Would you need a full season and life returning to normal to ensure that it did not happen?
Well, I don't care where you are in the food chain in FBS. Not having a season is going to be a destructive up and down the food chain. In the case of the higher end of the food chain, think about those institutions that are drawing 80 to 100,000 per home football game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they lose out on 6 or 7 or 8 of those, if they lose out on their dollars that are coming in through TV rights, that are coming in through the college football playoff, it'll be just as destructive for them
sure.
as it is for someone in my league for an array of different issues. And so we're kind of, you know, we've been talking all these phrases out there. We're all in this together. It's just the magnification of it might be a little different, but all of us have an interest in seeing our campuses get back open and having students back on campus. And hopefully, if we can do it in a safe and prudent fashion, being able to compete again in whatever the sport may be.
Well, Dr. Steinbrecher, thanks. Thanks for giving us time. Good luck. Hopefully there's a college football season on time, full schedule, and it's all good down the road.
Hey, it's so good to be with you. Hope you and your listeners are well and stay safe.
All good. And to you, too, as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. John Steinbrecher, Commissioner of the Mid-American Conference, joining us here on our West Her Hotline. We'll get a break in. Extend of Sports coming up in a moment. Get you updated on what's going on with the NFL owners, the vote today, the Sky Judge, the stuff going on with that. We'll have a note on that in a moment. Instigators coming up at the top of the hour on WGR.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
So, update on one story from yesterday and an update on one story that's still to come today. Yesterday, mentioned this briefly, but Phil Mickelson tells the LA Times that he wants the annual match to continue with Tiger Woods. Said, quote, "I think you could showcase guys like Steph Curry and Michael Jordan or Tony Romo and Patrick Mahomes, who are all good golfers, elite talents, and have great personalities. Those personalities are going to come out with this event. You could have someone who loves the game and is competitive but is really entertaining, like Larry David and Bill Murray. I think that could shine." So perhaps we're going to see an annual match with Phil and Tiger and whoever else. The story today, just a quick update on this, the NFL owners are going to vote, virtual meeting, on seven different rules proposals. The notable one, I think, is the...
Let me vote on all of them right now.
I don't have the whole list in front of me. Some of them about defenseless players on returns.
All right, yeses for the first three and no on the next four.
Let me see real quick if I can. Yeah, right.
Just kidding.
And I abstain on one of them. Can you abstain on one just for, you know, for fun's sake?
Sure.
I guess you don't have to vote, right? You could abstain on one. The one of note is the fourth and 15, the alternate to the onside kick, fourth and 15.
Very much. For that, yes.
I feel like it's going to pass.
It better.
Like, if it was up to coaches
again.
If it was up to coaches, I would say you might be nervous. I can't believe owners would turn it down. I think they would go for it. It's an option. It's not even getting rid of the onside kick. You're just saying here's an option. So why wouldn't you vote for it? Okay, you ready? What do we got? 2 minutes? A little bit more? Three? Beautiful. Okay. There is a, let's see, expand defenseless player protection to a kickoff or a punt returner who's in possession of the ball but who has not had time to avoid or ward off the impending contact. That's a proposal.
Okay.
You voting yes or no?
One more time on the verbiage of that, or the
wordage. Yeah, this is why this stuff makes my head explode. Okay. Competition says we're going to amend the rule to expand defenseless player protection to a kickoff or a punt returner who has the ball but hasn't had time to avoid or ward off contact.
Totally, yes.
Yeah, it's health, right? Of course.
Yep.
Next, we're going to amend the rule to prevent teams from manipulating the game clock by getting multiple dead ball fouls. The Tennessee-New England Patriots playoff game. Keep taking penalties, clock keeps running.
Gotcha.
They're going to change that so you can't screw around and run more time off the clock.
Good.
Make permanent expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul. So you get a touchdown, penalty, offensive pass interference, they automatically review the penalty.
Like it. Good.
Okay. Fourth and 15, we covered.
2 minute warning.
Oh, now I'm under pressure. To provide.
Wait. Actually, wait. Automatic review the penalty?
Automatic review the penalty because it negated. They're going to review that play because it negated a scoring play. Same thing with a turnover. You recover a fumble. There's a flag on the play on the defense, wipes out the fumble. They're going to review the penalty.
So, like, they would review a holding?
I would think. It says turnovers and scoring plays negated by a foul.
So
it doesn't specify what foul.
Like, defensive holding away from the play gets called, and your linebacker picks up a fumble.
You have an interception.
They will review the defensive
the penalty.
Holding.
Sounds right. It says negated by a foul. Sounds like that would be included. If I'm reading the rule. Yes. You okay. like that?
I think that's dangerous.
It's the NFL. They screwed up a year ago. Don't hold any faith.
All of a sudden is the standard now. Well, this player did not have an active role in the play.
Right.
That's a totally new standard.
And we've seen that penalty before where a guy holds on the other side of the field and it wipes out a turnover.
Yep.
Okay, defense, game clock.
Last minute of play in the show.
Okay, the booth umpire has been withdrawn. The senior technology advisor has been withdrawn. However, they're going to vote on a proposal for a preseason test of a system with somebody upstairs communicating with the crew on the field to help correct major errors. So in some way, shape, or form, it sounds like they're going to vote on that for preseason experiment.
Hmm. Okay.
Have a nice day, Mr. White.
You too. Hey, it's already Thursday.
Thank goodness. Tomorrow's Friday. That's a beautiful thing, even though it's not another three-day weekend. Instigators are coming up. Brayton's going to be on all the Zoom calls today with the Sabres players. So follow us on Twitter. Check WGR550.com for coverage and our on-demand audio for the interviews themselves.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.